Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There we go.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. For checking out the episode, please do hit that subscribe button while you're here. That way you get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review. While you're at it, we've had some great guests drop by lately. Felicity Jones and Carrie Condon were just here to talk about the Netflix movie Train Dreams. We hung out with Abe Sylvia. He's a showrunner and writer of Palm Royale on Apple TV+. Pearson Fodey, you've seen him in A Merry Little Xmas, as well as The Wrong Paris. He's going to be in the upcoming The Last Mrs. Parrish. Audrey Nuna, she's one of the voices behind K-pop Demon Hunters. She spoke to us about that show and her own music. Penelope Ann Miller and Erica Christensen stopped by to discuss the movie After All that's playing. Florence Welch, lead singer of Florence and the Machine, dropped in to talk about her latest record as well. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is Gaydon Matarazzo. Yes, you know him as Dustin Henderson from Stranger Things, one of the kids who made D&D heroic and 80s nostalgia a billion-dollar industry. And, of course, Stranger Things now in its final season. So Gaydon and I get to sit down and talk about that. Talk about Stranger Things and the long, weird, years-long goodbye that comes along with it, and what it's like to step off of the biggest show on the planet and straight into the unknown. We're going to get into how he's handling the out of work the second the job ends actor's life, his growing love of voice work, what drew him to Andy Serkis's new film Animal Farm, the adaptation of Animal Farm, where he plays a brand new character created just for that film. We'll also talk fandom from the inside with Lego Star Wars, his dream of diving deeper into theater and not making an album, as many of his other Stranger Things castmates have been on this very show to talk about. So let's get into all of that and more as we discuss Stranger Things 5. It's Kyle Meredith with Gaydon Matarazzo.
How you doing, Kyle?
I'm thinking you're. I've had almost all of the core cast on my show over the past 10 years, except for you now. So
well, there we go. We got a
just in the nick of time.
Great, exactly. This is good to. I'm glad I'm finally on.
You look like you've had a very, very busy week already.
I had. It's been a bit of a hustle, but I mean that's kind of what we expected. It's like day three of like a bit of a press tour start, and then we start traveling for the junkets and all that jazz. So it can be a bit of a hassle, but it's fun.
This makes it like the long goodbye, right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, we get to spend a lot of it together, which is really nice. We get to do it. The press can be a bit tedious, but it can be a lot. We get to travel to really cool places, and we get to do it with each other, and so it's going to be a good time. We're gonna make a good time out of it.
I was thinking, because, of course, there's always like, oh, the last day, you know, the last day of shooting.
Yeah.
You have the party afterwards, but then, of course, you don't really say goodbye because
no.
You have press stuff. And now it's split up so many with the season split. Like, I had the same conversation with the Cobra Kai guys, you know. It's like, how many times do you say goodbye?
I mean, we've been talking about the end of the show since before we released season 4, which is over 3 years ago. And so all the questions ever since have been dominated by, like, how does it feel to be saying goodbye to this? I'm like, guys, we've got 3 more years, I promise. We've got a good amount of time. We got to take it easy on that. I promise you're going to get sick of asking us that.
Can you put it behind you even at this point? Is that part of the whatever process?
Not yet. I don't think I ever really wanted to put it behind me. I'd love for it to remain something that stays in my present mind and heart, because I don't think I can ever let go of something as influential as this. It's not only such an incredible experience to have at any point, but to have it happen through your formative years is pretty special. So it'll always be a defining chapter of what I do going forward, no matter what. And that's like an incredible honor. But I think I'll be able to answer that better in like maybe a year or two.
Sure. Yeah, I guess what I was getting at too, because having some of those other conversations, especially Maya's on here a lot. I know she's right over my shoulder there too. But Joe and Finn, like they didn't mind saying that there is at least a little bit of freedom in the whole thing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun to experiment with. I have always looked at continuing to do the show, or always felt very secure in it, because even though we get little micro bits of freedom to work on what we want outside of the show during the time between seasons, that security of like, we'll always have the next one was like so relaxing. And now it really is like, all right, throw them to the wolves, figure it out. Because no matter what, it's such a weird thing, because of course the show has provided so many opportunities and has paved a way for consistent work afterwards, at least you can hope. It still is freelance. It still is one of those things where you finish a job and you go, okay, maybe I'll sit for a second, but I really would like to know that the next one's coming. And that's just the job for however long you decide to do it. So that's a little nerve-wracking. I've never done well with downtime, so I think it'll be a learning curve for me.
That's, I mean, what a career, right? That's all part of it. Because that's the thing, people have said that, like, no matter how famous you are, once the job is done, you're technically out of work.
You're technically out of work, yeah. And that's what's great, is that a show like Stranger Things gives you the security that when you are out of work, that's not something you have to rush into the next one. It's, of course, provided for me and for the cast wonderfully in that respect, of course. So that's where it's very different. Because it's, when it comes to being a working actor, that's just never a guarantee. And this show has provided that guarantee that if there is a cushion of time between parts, that there's nothing to worry about there. So that's a breath of fresh air and a sigh of relief for sure. And I'm very grateful for that, but I love to do what I do. I don't like a lot of downtime between my jobs, because I've been lucky enough to make a career out of my favorite hobby. And so I just want to keep doing it.
And we'll be right back right after this.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Gaten Matarazzo. Well, of course, you've got Animal Farm, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Animal Farm. So you're lucky. One of the this is a new character in the whole story.
Which, yeah, that was something. I love the original piece so much. So hearing that there was a new character was scary to me. But what was a cool pitch is that some of the issues with the last iterations, it's never worked on film yet. And one of the last, I think one of the primary reasons is that the narrator, or I guess the lens in which you see the story through, is completely impartial the entire time, which is eerie and scary, because you see their system of governing kind of crumble and the rules change with the writing on the wall, literally the writing on the wall with Their rule books changing. It's weird because you never really had an impartial look at it, which kind of took away from, I think, a vital part of that story. And lucky they pitched was like the most impartial that one could be, because he grows up in a very privileged place, being what would become like in Animal Farm representation of a higher class system there, where he was kind of the pitch is like a bit of like a Hitler youth figure of like looking around and being like, everything's great, what do you mean? This is great for me. And then getting older and then looking around and saying like, oh shit, but not really having much of a perspective outside of it, being very close to like Boxer and wanting the best for everybody, but not really seeing firsthand how much of a benefit he has there. And so he could look kind of impartially and be like, what do you mean? Everything's awesome right now, as it starts to not be. And of course it's geared differently. It is a movie made to reflect today. It's a movie made to be observed and absorbed by younger audiences so that they can ingest that kind of a story. It doesn't shy away from the ugliness of what that original, I mean, perfect novel represents, but it's definitely a different type of movie. I think we're very the production team was very clear about that going in, that it is going to be, there's a take there for sure.
Was that part of any of the reason why you want to take it? I mean, obviously, the only thing further you would have went down that is if this was a movie about of 1984, right? Like
Yes, right.
how much of
That's
that was on your mind when you said yes to that?
I knew when when it came forward, I was like, there really isn't a world where I do say no to this. I mean, it's very risky, of course. But once I saw when Andy Serkis was not only a part of the creating it, but directing it himself, he's a brilliant mind and somebody I don't think anybody would turn down working with him in any capacity. And that was just an absolute deal breaker. Not only is it a matter of like, even if it's something I didn't like, I would be absolutely over the moon to go and work with him. And thankfully, it was something I did and something I was very excited to be a part of. So that was really cool. And it was a long process. We filmed like, or recorded the whole thing, and then I went back in for several years after that, after they had rewrites and changed some things and had new directions they were taking. So it took a while for me to actually see it all come together, but it was always such a pleasure working with Andy, especially because he did all the off-camera acting with me, and he's an incredible voice actor and is one of the most expressive performers in the industry. So being able to just, even with him sitting on Zoom reading off of the page, he brought something so special to each character that I would read with. And that was an opportunity you don't say no to.
And I know it's voice acting, so you're siloed, but you're right. Nobody said no to him, right? Because
No.
I'm looking at that. Seth
That cast list.
Woody, Steve Buscemi, Glenn Close, Laverne Cox, Kathleen Turner, Jim Parsons,
Kiery
Kieran Culkin. I mean,
Culkin,
like, holy
Sacha Evans.
cow.
Yeah, it's a pretty great lineup. And that doesn't really, I never want that to be like a deciding factor in why I do something. I'm like, that's really cool for them, but like, I don't want to just be like, oh, fun. I want to put my name on a list of other people who have done great work. But I think it just fell into place and got the people. I think Andy was a big part of why people latched onto that project, was because not only is it a classic piece that I don't, that everybody, I mean, it's like one of those like standards you read in high school, that I think most people go and end up revisiting at some point. So there's that, as well as working with one of, I believe to be the more brilliant minds, just creatively, alive today doing it. I'm sure, I don't know if you would agree with me saying that, but but I believe it full wholeheartedly.
And I know it's been a passion project for a long time. To see it
Yeah.
finally realized in 2025 feels a bit kismet, as I was kind of
Yeah, I think
saying,
so. Yeah, I agree.
before that. But I look forward to seeing what you all have done with it too.
Well,
It's
thanks. I appreciate it. I hope you like it.
but I mean, this is further on your development as a voice actor too. I mean, you're
Yeah, a
coming
little bit
again
more.
off of Lego Star Wars, which again, holy cow,
Yes, I
right? I mean,
am.
this is like.
I hesitate to call myself a voice actor because voice acting in itself is a completely separate, like beast of its own. People spend their entire lives creating a repertoire of different voices that they can do and completely manipulating themselves vocally to do the most incredible things. And I've basically been lucky enough to play myself up through this point, different versions of my own voice. And anytime I've gone in for them, that's been the note, is that like, we like what you bring in your other stuff, and so please keep that quality and please just use your voice with varying degrees of shifting it up a little bit. And so I've basically just played exaggerated versions of myself in the booth. So I struggle to say I'm a voice actor, though I've done voiceover work, I will say, and it's very fun to do. I love it very, very much.
Yeah. Oh, I think at some point, you're selling yourself short because I'm blanking on his name right now, and I'm kicking myself. He played Spaceman in 30 Rock. He came from SNL. He's on Adventure, Rick and Morty. Chris, he's on Archer. You know, he played Cyril on Archer and everything. And I'm just thinking, like he is one of those, like, you get the same voice every time, but he's now made a career basically out of that voice. That. At some point, if you keep doing this, you're going to have to call yourself a voice actor.
If I do enough, I think inevitably I'll have to say that, though. I'm sure a lot of people who invest a lot of time in voice acting would roll their eyes at that, because there is a trend. I don't necessarily know about an unfortunate one, but there is a present trend of a lot of times projects, and I'm guilty of being a part of some of them, of where they come forward, like, they're like, let's just get a bunch of people from other things outside of the voiceover world to like jump in, and maybe we can put those names on the title sequence, and hopefully that makes a difference in getting people to see the movie. Which I understand is like a part of that business, and it receives a lot of frustration. I think rightfully so. I don't think Animal Farm really represents anything like that, because I think Andy knew that a lot of these actors could bring something very specifically to the parts that they were playing, and there was a lot of intention behind that. But I love doing it, and I'm honored to be a part of it and work on stuff like that. Even though I understand there's something, I think, I wouldn't say problematic in that practice, but definitely something to take note of.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Gaten Matarazzo. Was it for Star Wars then, with Legos, was that more of just the fandom? Is that where
that
you were coming from?
Anything. When that came through, I thought it was a bit. I thought it was a joke. My dream is to be a part of anything Star Wars related since I was 6 years old. And I was like, oh, so it must be like a cameo or something, or it must be just a pitch or maybe something. But it was a full-fledged, ready-to-go Star Wars show that they wanted me to lead. And that was such a pinch me. Because I like working in the booth a ton, and the part is so indicative of the way I feel about Star Wars. Sig is a Star Wars fan, which is really funny to play a Star Wars fan in the Star Wars universe. I think it's such a charming take and a cool little stepping off point for the show to go to, and it's just such a great room. Benji and Dan are really incredible, and Chris, our director, like the entire group is really fun. Just a room full of really devoted Star Wars fans hoping that Lucasfilm would let us greenlight our references that were never canon before this. And I guess technically still aren't, because it's a galaxy reshuffle. But we did get to talk about like characters from the expanded universe and little references that got like popular on Reddit, like Darth Jar Jar and stuff, that really only like the deep Star Wars fans know about. And getting to throw those in was insane that they let us do it, but so much fun.
It's been like the beauty of the Lego series and the world and everything.
You get some lenience
that you get to do that. Has the expanded universe held your attention?
Oh yeah, always has. I think for the most part, I had a huge chunk of time where I invested so much in learning about, like, there's like a history devoted to every single side character, like in the Jedi Council, that like everybody knows their name and their backstory and what they specialize in and where they're from, and I devoted a good chunk of my time in going down those little rabbit holes for sure.
Well, I understand to be a part of that, even so to fun. Whatever degree. That's what you always get to have that now. Like that's always
seriously,
there.
It's really cool.
It's now as I'm still looking at those names back on the, as I told you, a lot of the core of Stranger Things cast has been on here. Almost every one of them I've talked about an album with.
Oh yeah, cool.
Even Caleb was a single. You know, it's. But you've not given that. You've not given the world anything like that yet.
I've not given that. Yeah. I don't play music and I don't write and I just sing in other things people have written in musicals and such. Music plays a huge factor in my love for what I do, and I like to create music in that respect and in that way. I don't know. I just always feel, I don't know if I necessarily have much to say yet, or I haven't found a drive to really feel like I could contribute well to that world. And I don't want to jump into a space that I don't feel is earned for myself. There's so many times that people jump into making music because they're like, I guess I could give it a go. And it's so tough because so many incredible, brilliant artists have such a hard time gaining that platform. And not to say that using a platform that's already there to like expand to new outlets is necessarily a bad thing at all. In fact, I'm sure I think it's incredible that people have those opportunities, but I just would like to have a take there, you know what I mean, before jumping into that world if I ever wanted to. And I think it starts with me learning how to play an instrument, which I only play my throat, but I'm looking to jump into piano soon. I've had things come up where they're like, "Hey, do you play?" I'm like, "I don't." And they're like, "You should probably play because there's parts that come through that, especially in theater, where it would be useful to know." So hopefully that takes up a good chunk of my new year. It's a resolution I have.
It's not a bad one. The whole theater side, because I know that's still is such a huge side of your career, and I don't know if my perception is wrong, but I almost feel like, oh, is the word comfortable? Like, are you more comfortable on that side? Does that side drive you more, or is that just how it's landed work-wise?
Weirdly, it does, and I don't really know why. I think originally it's just how I learned to develop a love for it, so it's very nostalgic for me. Not just the type of work that it is, but the schedule and what the room feels like and the community and the family that is grown in a theater, which is just it's not better or worse. It's just very different from anything that happens in film and TV. But it is weird. I feel more comfortable in that space, which I think the whole point of theater is that it's supposed to chuck you right out of your comfort zone. There really isn't anything to fall back on, and it just is basically skydiving every day and hoping it goes well. And I don't know why I love that process. I love the anxiety. I feel like it's like an adrenaline junkie type of a thrill to it. And weirdly enough, I love the schedule. I love knowing what the day off is going to be. I love knowing that I can go to bed at the same time and wake up at the same time the next morning. And once my body is in a schedule, I tend to take care of myself more. I tend to feel physically better. I mentally feel better, though. It's a hassle for everybody in my life around me because I have no free time at all. I have weekday afternoons and Mondays, but weekends are completely packed, usually 2 show days on both days. So there's not much of a social life or downtime, but really I'm fine with that. I really do love the process quite a lot.
Well, finding any kind of consistency in this job, I mean,
Yeah.
when you get that kind of repetition, that's,
Yeah.
yeah, why wouldn't you hold on to it? And to have the versatility that, if one thing isn't striking you right now, the right offer isn't there, or it's just not where your interest is, you still have that other side.
You
And
still have
that's,
that. You still
yeah.
have branches to go into. And theater's hard because it is a commitment no matter when you start. Whenever a process for a show begins, whether you're jumping into an existing production and replacing an actor that's already been there, that's just moving on to something new or ending their contract for whatever reason that may be. A lot of people just move on to do things a bunch. So that's why they cycle through. And if you're replacing an actor in a show, you have a 3 week rehearsal period and however long the run is, which should be a few months. They want you there for a good amount of time. They don't just want you to do like a 2 week thing because the turnaround's hard. Because if you're only there for a month, they have to do the whole rehearsal process again, almost overlapping with your run. So they want a chunk of time devoted to you being there. So it is at least a several month process. And then if you're starting a show from scratch, a lot of times you're workshopping, you're in the development process, you start rehearsing if a show books a theater, and then you tech, and then you open, and that can take a year in itself. So it's not something that has been as consistent as I would have loved it to be because you only have a certain amount of months between seasons. But now, I would love to jump into something that takes a long time there.
Yeah, is that the plan?
I think so. I think my managers and my agents are specifically like, we know that's what you love, but I haven't done a lot of film, and like maybe don't squash opportunities that come through in that department just because it's great to diversify. It's great to try to jump into new fields when the opportunity strikes. I do live in New York City, so the opportunity to workshop here is to jump into something on stage when the time opens up is going to be there just based on the fact that I live here. So I do understand. Maybe taking a deep breath and waiting and not rushing a process too much.
Well, you're going to come off, of course, all of this attention and the high of this final season
Yeah.
of Stranger Things, and honestly, I don't think I properly complimented you because it is the world that you all created together and have given us, because that's also the interesting thing, right? What we see and what your memories are two completely different
Yeah,
things.
they are. I rarely remember that.
Yeah, but that's but what we have seen, it's been magical and everything.
Thank
And
you.
So congratulations. Oh,
Thank you very much.
congratulations, man.
I
Five
appreciate
straight
that.
seasons. Yeah.
It's a pretty incredible thing to be a part of. I don't take it for granted.
Well, it was so great to have you on here finally.
Yeah, likewise, Kyle. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to be on. I've been looking forward to it for a while.
Yeah, hopefully we'll do this again on the next project, whatever it is.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And my thanks to Gaten. Stranger Things 5, you can watch on Netflix. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music and bonus interviews. Lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from Neil Young, Pearl Jam, Sugar, The Killers, Smashing Pumpkins, Tom Petty, Echo Star, Morcheeba, U2, Rachel Yamagata, Karim Bailey Ray, Sun Little, Elton John, The Barr Brothers, John Lennon, and my interviews with Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Philip Selway of Radiohead, and actor H. John Benjamin from Bob's Burgers and Archer. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'll see you really soon, okay?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.